But actually, you guys are getting avian data. You should be, you would have seen peaks in avian collection data, and I don't know whether, like, there's any of that noted in terms of the last, like that last week of May.
Portal's up and running, but I haven't accessed that lately to look at it. One thing to note about the stringers, you know, we have found some molts in there. In May, there was 10 smolts in the, actually that was, in May, on the canary, 10 some odd smolts, and Lomo had a, it's like a 12 in May inspection, and some more in the June inspection. Looks like about 4 or 5.
Any idea what they were? That shape?
It sounds like they're too far along to identify them.
Yeah, we're definitely in those seats to exclude.
This is pretty cool here.
And then they're lost.
So you ready to move on, Dave?
Yeah.
So John Day, lamprey collection protocols?
Yeah, what are they?
I think I can cover John Day, right?
I would hope so.
Well, he has been on the agenda too long. So the latest status is that we still don't have the drip drain installed. And we probably won't have it until August, so it's going to be too late to use it.
That's
certain. No, so... So instead, the project, the only thing we can assist, is proposing to do it with a mobile crane. What I'm talking about, because if you're familiar with different components of this, the only movable thing is a collector box. Some people call it a trap. The trap, to me, is the forward part, which actually leads into the collector trap, and that's the only movable part. So, I just wanted to address your concern, FPOM's concern for noise, vibrations, so forth. And first of all, this automated trap should be considered an improvement over the manual traps, which have been in use for the last 5 years, and which is the PVC tubes, you know, a couple of feet long, because the only thing which is moving, duration is shorter, when you are moving the box, going within this guide, and then you just are installing it. In fact, I had personal experience this last week because Nathan told me that they wanted to cure the trap. We are still not ready for trapping, but so we dropped that trap manually with my coworker, which is doable, it's not that difficult. And what I noticed, of course, the features are such that the box has rubber bumpers on the edges. So when it goes inside the guide, there's no metal-to-metal contact. So it's a very silent thing. And it's actually very tight, too, so it goes kind of slow. And duration is a few seconds, goes up, and the same thing will be the removal of the box. So I think, as far as I'm concerned, I think we're ready to assist starting this next week. And I think the tribes are very interested also in starting this as soon as possible. And from another clarification I have from the project's perspective is that we can only support, of course, daily, Monday through Thursday, which is our regular work week. But fisheries can assist a little bit on Sunday by deploying a trap manually, which no crane support is necessary. So we'll have 4 days of solid trapping, which should be enough if the concept is sound and the lamprey are getting through to the trap. So that's the status. And I personally, in summary, I basically want to emphasize, I don't see even a remote possibility of any negative impact from this trap operation on fish passage. Because to add to the crane and the jib, to the position of the jib and crane will be off to the side, below. And the corner where the collector box is sitting between the bricketed leads is kind of far away from the crowder, so it's safe distance and no noises, and you saw it really. And again, it's an improvement over the manual trap operation which was taking place in the past.
Nathan told me that the tribes weren't going to be getting in there until start of July.
Chris Penny.
Oh, they don't want to?
Have joined the conference.
It's going to be later than they expected.
Oh, okay. That's fine. But I think we are ready to assist whatever their needs are. I just wanted to make sure that we have the permissions and all the protocol. And regarding the protocol, my personal recollection was, which I'm concerned with, that there was duration of holding on the project, but it was a misunderstanding because it appears that they will be hauling fish the same day they're traveling them. They don't need to
haul them the same day.
They're hauling them the same day. What they meant earlier in preliminary discussions, they have something else which is a different matter altogether. They have some long-term proposal or plans for holding permanent holding facility somewhere in mid-Columbia. So, but that has nothing to do with the current traffic.
Okay.
That's it.
That sounds like
so as soon as the track, like Robert mentioned, as soon as the tracks are ready, we are ready to.
Okay. Okay. Guys, let's take a look at it sometime.
Especially we need the thing to move it out. Because
what's that?
I mean, we did an experiment.
Could have it out there.
The structural crew foreman was able to pull it down the road when it was deployed now, almost up to the surface too. So it's not that heavy. It's not super heavy.
How big is it?
It's about 3 inches. Right.
So what? Isn't there a way to just hook up a crank on it and just run it that way? We can have a jib crane and all go.
That may be because they've been kind of looking to avoid the mobile crane involvement.
Yeah, I would like to avoid that too.
Because that's kind of time consuming and it takes away our project. I mean, they have other maintenance.
It's the engine and motor and other stuff.
Yeah, so there's going to be, I think, some looking into this.
Okay, yeah, let me just.
I can't imagine. Yeah, because, you know, modified operations, the original plan was to, that's why this, the role of the jib crane was to not only to lift, but then be able to swing over the fish tank, which would be down below in the parking lot, but they can do it in a modified way. All you need to do is move the collector box out of the water, and they can load it into buckets and carry it manually through. Like they would, in the same fashion they did it the manual trap.
But what's the holdup with the jib crane?
Well, it's a contract issue. It's a construction issue. The contractor wasn't able.
Sounds like something the Trevor could do in the afternoon.
Contract. I know.
I mean, really, I mean, there's not a couple of pipes and some bracing and a few pulleys and a.
But the jib crane simply wasn't available for some reason.
Right.
Something similar like at the
Washington.
Sure.
Jeep and
that's what you guys put in, right? You guys installed that?
Yeah, a simple device could be installed for just partial operations like described, so wouldn't be able to swing the whole box for the ease of transfer, because if we were dealing with larger number of fish in the collector box, and if we wanted to quickly transfer, it would be nice to have it positioned over the big tank down below, but it can be done differently.
It's good, but yeah, once it's all put together, it's still like to go and take it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just involved in judgment. Go ahead and use it. But
okay, for now, yeah.
If I go out there,
we can have F-bomb in August out there. We can have F-bomb in August out there, too, take a look at it.
Yeah, if you see travel that far, I don't know, that might not, at least only goes to Bonneville for me.
That's right. Is that where you get pulled back?
Yeah, I get about to the bridge.
You get Bridge of the Gods.
It's an electric one. Yeah, it's like a dog collar.
Okay, so let's move on to, we already did avian BPA updates. Scott, you have anything?
There's some of the operations at the Dallas, I think, are canceled, but I'll let you know. Specifically. Some of that RAS. They were working on it yesterday.
Okay.
cancel indefinitely?
Yeah, I'll try and get a date for you. If it fits the reschedule.
Okay.
Other than that, there's nothing.
All right, critical spare parts list again.
That was not my agenda either. Was that?
No, that was just a, I'm not sure why it was on there, but that, is anyone followed up with anyone at their projects to see?
Ken's kind of have the tasker, you know, just to get something that was consistent between the districts established, and then he was going to, we're going to free it up to be, you know, flexible project by project to the needs. And I think at the last meeting, you know, we kicked it out until he had something. We weren't really going to talk about it again. So, you know, we can, at this point, I don't believe he has an update. I don't think he's made any progress on it.
No, no.
So
the bushings and the bearings issue, or is that
another issue you have, right?
Yeah, I was hoping that you guys could get some steam to get the bearings and bushings ordered that you need so you have spare parts. That was a presentation that we had last meeting.
Was the plan to have like a standard format for all the projects?
Well, I think we were hoping to start out there with just a broad standard outline format, and then there was the ability to fine-tune the specifics of individual systems that were different or specific needs that were harder, et cetera. And so, yeah, the hope was to get that original piece done early and then kick it back out with the project bios, kind of interact, and then kind of regroup maybe and bring it back. So. I don't know. Do you think you're going to be able to make some progress on this soon, Ken? Or?
I'll try.
So, Ann, you're thinking this is on the fish parts, right?
It actually refers to both.
Okay.
Sandra's.
What are you talking about, Scott? The bushings? Are you talking about electrical bushings?
Yeah, the bushings are very standard in the presentation.
Filtering weirs and bushings and
so I missed the presentation because I wasn't at that meeting, so I guess I'm not real clear on what you're talking about.
It is on the website, the PowerPoint.
Is it
on
the F-bomb? Mm-hmm. On your
last month?
Oh, bushings and bearings.
Yeah.
So I guess what we need is we need to know what needs to move ahead, and if Ken isn't going to be able to do it, maybe we need to readjust who's doing it, and maybe somebody else make better progress. This has been going on now for about 4 months.
Yeah.
So I think we'll ask Ken to prioritize it this month and try to make progress.
Yeah, we may have to put something on or something.
Yeah, I guess my feel is that it probably isn't anything other than lay out just a basic backbone outline of what you think's there, let the project bios kind of weigh in on what else they think needs to be there, and then we just fill in the tree of the parts you have versus what you think you should have, and also what's critical and what isn't critical. So all of that really is going to be up to the project buyers, really. So all we're really looking for is just that initial framework, you know. What do we think? And
juvenile facilities, adult facilities, or electrical.
That's going to be constantly changing too.
Oh well, yeah.
And that's okay. I think she was going to put it up on the web page, and so it could be updated as needed.
You know, but the parts that we're using out there don't. I mean, there's a finite list of what's what we have, replaceable, and then
just as far as what's on.
And then there's what's on the inventory and what the age and condition is of the individual parts.
I think one of the first steps was to see if it was all in FEM, and right now our FEM system, which is our kind of our maintenance program, people have been trying to start using it the last couple of years, but it doesn't seem to be quite as effective yet. Everything isn't getting loaded in there so that by project, they can't just go download a nice list and get this thing moving, you know, kind of in a fast pace. So, well, and you know, the path forward was that we laid these out and then have some prioritizations so that as we were talking, you know, what should be prioritized in budgets, et cetera, like that, that we would have what was critical.
What's the condition?
In general, for routine, my impression back by us is that for routine items that the project buyers are aware of that fail routinely, they generally have backups, and I would think that's probably true down here. So we're really starting to get into age, condition, unanticipated failures, you know, non-routine. Is there items there that we should be having as well?
Yeah,
so,
we need to pass some sort of priority to them, too. I mean, what's going to fail? What kind of problem?
stockfish way, or is it just a small something to fix it with the provider if I take that out?
No, that's what I've been trying to do is figure out, you know, anything that fails, can we live without it? Can we operate without it?
Can we reach it together, or is it like a critical piece, and then it comes down to funding, and whether or not we can put these things on the funding list? Just work through it over time, and this would be something that I think this committee should do basically forever as long as it is.
It really helps to have kind of somewhere an up-to-date list of non-routine needs. We never know, you know, if and when somebody might find some flexibility. Obviously, people are always out there looking to try to improve the funding environment
right,
if they can.
Right, but you have a chunk of change, and what do you spend it on?
That's right. Vern wins the lottery, and he says, I'm going to work forever and give you guys all this money.
That's right. You can cough up some money to that district.
That's right.
Walla Walla's got plenty of money.
There you go.
All right, let's move on. Dial passage of ladders, Bob.
Yeah, this is a follow-up from, two palms ago when we requested a fish unit outage. We were trying to figure out what a good time would be. And we went for noon, which now that we got the information that's out there, that probably wasn't the best time. And this is actually information that Hudson put together 5 years ago.
Okay.
We all forgot about it. So, I'm thinking it might be a good idea that someone will get it incorporated into the past time for a reference.
For quick reference.
Yeah.
How large is it?
How large is it? The dial or just it? They're separated by species, but I mean they could probably be combined into like a single grass or each dam or one grass.
So that's out of, where's that data coming from?
It could be
independent. So it's kind of an adult diurnal timing
data.
Yeah, it's inference data, but we have the information for the cow windows question as well. You know, we're talking about different interests, and so when do they actually enter, which is pretty much the same as what they have. I mean, there was a lot of difference for any of those dams that I noticed.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. Because there you see that one line is totally the opposite of salmon. It's like, what's that? And you also see the fish in the rivers. The river systems have been very flat compared to the differences at dams. And that speculation that was thinking more visual cues rather than just flow and scent. So that's why light is important.
So your point is that if you're in a natural river without any passage barriers, they're moving around the clock.
When it gets to a project or any other obstacle, then they start to go to visual cues, speculation, but that's possible.
Yeah.
So Bob, did Cluxton's report, is that just for Dallas or are there any projects?
No, it's all the projects.
Okay.
It's attached to the email I sent, and it's on the website.
Yeah, that's great.
Is it on the website?
It might be on the website.
You want to maybe take a lead on looking for a place in an appendix for that next year?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, we can probably figure out how to condense it.
Is there data? Do we have the data that goes with the graphs? I mean, that's.
You can get that from U of I, guys.
Is that the paper?
Yeah, this is Perry.
Yeah, they were a little different.
Keepers.
Bob had, there's two pieces. So that's a little different. So the data are different. I'm sure they came from the same data set. It's a little different presentation.
So you got to get those data, because then you can make whatever crash you want.
Whatever we want, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Open door, run through.
Note to self.
Okay, keep moving here, Bern.
Weekly reports, Tom Lors. What do you need?
This one's pretty straightforward. This, like, so this year we had a lot of discussion at TNT about operations of bottle tip. One issue that came up was debris and how it might be interplaying. Taking a look at those weekly reports, they really doesn't give you much assessment of what's going on debris-wise. So it's kind of hard to get data or something like that, so you have to manually try to find someone to call and hope you get a hold of somebody. So it might be not a bad thing to have in some of these reports, just some assessment of what debris is like, whether that's drawdown measurements, whether that's how many times they've had to break UPS cleaning, someone there just give us an idea of what debris is going on and what's it been like. So if we have to make an operational decision at TMC, we're somewhat informed. Either that or we're just going to have the appropriate people at TMC for when these discussions occur. I don't care which way it works. Whichever way you want to play it, I would assume putting them in the report and then we can call the correct core people would probably be a better way to do it instead of keeping people having to torment them through a TMC process. But you guys can make a decision on that.
All right. We'll do that. So let's continue on.
Okay.
Looks like you've got a couple of forms here from...
Yep, I think with having turbidity, is the turbidity in the report?
Point that you're getting a week old data.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be much of a real-time decision.
That's true.
But, you know, I mean...
Sounds like you're going to have to go to TMT.
Looks like you're calling into TMT, Ben.
I mean, I could get a report to somebody the day of, if that's appropriate. It's not difficult to do.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, so I can give them...
You send out your reports on Friday? On Friday? For that week?
Our reports come out. Depends on the...
Yeah.
You know, they're by the end of the week, which is Thursday for us for the previous week.
Right.
But, I mean, I could give them, here's what we're doing today. Here's what debris has been like, how many times it's been this week.
You hear that, Tom? The report's probably going to be older than what you really want.
Yeah, but at least you get an idea of what's going on in the past week. If you start this on Wednesday, before it comes out on Friday, at least you know what's going on in the past time. Otherwise, we've got nothing to work on, and then we're completely flying, even more blind than normal. But if that's what we want to do, I can keep just shooting from the hip at TMT, but I think it'd be better, and probably people like it better, if I just had the data to make decisions at TMT with.
Well, that's
not fair. I can keep just making up stuff. That seems to be the way we play in the region, so.
No, I'm just saying that.
Keep making up stuff? Is that what you said?
It does seem like that, but.
Can you put that in the notes?
Tom Lors, we'll keep making
up stuff.
Continue making
up stuff.
But you're not a fish biologist. You can't.
Well, that's a good point.
That's right.
That's why he's into debris. That's what the TN engineers are into debris.
Well, Tom, you can either get that report included for the previous week's data, or I can give it to whatever appropriate TMT person for the current week.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm just saying that we just read it a couple times, and then so you're at TNT, you've got this problem, and we're trying to scramble to find someone who knows what's going on. If there is a debris problem, you're probably out in the attic trying to deal with it, so we can't find anyone to talk to. So having something on our, something around it gives us some information, so when we're busy at TNT and all staring at them, well, what should we do? We just have something to think about.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, if it's a formalized thing, and I give you data on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, whatever it is, that's easy to do.
And it would be just for a couple of months, really, is the...
Yeah, since there is a reload time. And actually, what you probably do is send it to, like, dispatch center, and they can just distribute it to that pack route, and that would be the best thing for it, so I'm not super long free data.
Sure. Whoever. Yeah, well, whoever's appropriate, I can get it to them. Just,
Yeah, Dave Banner, he does the adult work stuff anyway, and a lot of times it's either adults or...
Okay.
Make sure you send it to Bass as well, though, since he chairs TMT.
To?
That would be great. Appreciate it much.
All right. So, coordination forms, we've got three of them here.
First one, Ken?
Yeah, sure, Ken. Before we get too far, I think Chris Pinney called in. We want him to update about the Ice Harbor trap, or put that to the rest already.
Is there anything other than the jib crane going on with the Ice Harbor trap right now, Chris?
We got about 250, 260 of our 300 tag. So we should make our 300 fish by within 3 weeks. June 30th is our cutoff date. So we don't interfere with any sockeye that may come through. The jib crane is fully functional now. They have been using it for close to 2 weeks on their own. They're pretty comfortable with the jib crane, how it operates so far. There was a trip of a breaker that they figured out. It had something to do with the 5 second delay in the switch, so that all worked out. There are some modifications for next year we'll be doing to the trap, just like the one we did with the one gate that we put a rubberized false bottom on. So we have a list going there. A lot of people just seem to think the trap actually is a pretty good functional contraption itself. We're not dogging it off this year. We're going to wait till next year to actually implement that so we can trap instead. We postponed a lot of modifications to the trap so we can continue to get our fish trapped, our spring chinook. So we've encountered three previously pit tagged CSS fish out of about 250 that we've tagged. The most recent was just a couple days ago. Typically they're held in the anesthetic for less than a minute, put in a trailer, and probably within an hour or so they're released upstream at Levy Park with the rest of the fish. So all seems to be finally going well. Trap, if there's any questions on specifics, I can go ahead and answer those.
Yeah, Chris, you're noting those fish that are, you're basically putting a note in, let's get some of these handles, fish that can confirm their analysis they want.
Right. It's a report, the day that we encounter a CSS fish, Blue sends a report directly to Fish Passage Center, identifying that fish, how long they've held it for, all that stuff, so they can do what, you know, that information, what they need to do with it on down the line. So.
Perfect. I just want to make sure there was notification. Good.
Yeah, we have a spreadsheet. It's almost instant notification to them, so.
Great. Thanks.
Sure.
Do you get that from the phone, no fish?
So it'll keep moving, Ken. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Sure.
Okay, coordination form 13. Low ground at 08. This is the T2 transformer, which is leaking oil. And there's a little
Chris Penny.
Risk of electrical failure and oil spill. So, what the transporting here is a replacement of the bushing on the T2 transformer. So, this would require a continuous powerhouse outage. For basically a 2-day outage.
A participant has joined the conference.
Beginning August 26th at 6 in the morning and going through August 28th at 11 in the evening. This proposed outage would coincide with the outage at the powerhouse for repair on Lower Granite. And if you recall, that is set to occur from 9:30 in the morning to 11 at night. So this additional outage time would make it continuous for that 2-day period. So you would have your powerhouse out for that whole period. You'd have the water going through the spill, which would still be occurring at that time. You know, we expect the flows to be pretty low for the end of August, so probably PDG will be an issue. So that's basically in a nutshell.
So this was like sent out to folks back, I think about a week ago last Wednesday, and we were hoping to get concurrence here so that we could go ahead and let this be part of the plan.
Did you guys look into doing it at the same time as already going to be out around the clock?
Yeah, because we recall that bubble testing is occurring August 12th and 16th, along with powerhouse repair, so during that 12th and 16th, there is a 24-hour outage. They did try, but I guess the PPK crews were not available in that time period. They all hooked up, so.
If they are, could you do it then? Could we coordinate it both ways?
I think it's a possibility. I'd have to check the project, but I think it would be.
Because I was going to try to follow back up and see if the crew could move their time around. They may not have known the implications for having extra hours.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Okay, so maybe we could get concurrence on this right now, and if we need to change, then we'll go back out to folks and let them know that we're able to do it back within the original roof window, and probably,
we've already got that scheduled. So
yeah, so that's part of the schedule, so all we'd be doing is taking it back. And so I guess the question was, did anybody have any concerns that they wanted to voice, or did everyone agree for this plan to go forward?
I don't see any problems with this, Ann.
Okay, thank you. Tom? Tom must have left the call. We'll take
it. No, I'm going to get my new medical cleanup. Oh, this should be fine.
Okay. Yeah,
just for clarification, there would be station service going from Unit 5, so you would have power to your GFF and to the AWS pumps and the water.
Okay.
Who else we got here? Mr. Wills?
No objections.
Okay. And I'm sure anybody's speaking for Washington here today. I think we're probably good with what we got. Thank you for that. The next one is the John Day screen testing. I didn't have a chance to give you a call and answer any questions. I know there was an email from you, Bill, asking for an update. But basically, what was attached to this coordination when it was sent out was what little data we have collected from gate well dipping this year. And the circumstances are that about 2 weeks ago, Martin Ammon went out on site and actually visually looked down on the gate well where this John Day screen, modified John Day screen was, and compared it kind of with other gate wells, and gave a real thumbs up to the project that, hey, this if your fish data doesn't look any different, these look a lot like your existing screens in terms of the amount of gate well turbulence, and really pushed to see if we couldn't start getting them into B. And of course the project was excited about that, and that's how this coordination forum developed. I think the downside of where we're at is because of the flows in the river, we haven't been running Unit 6, and so last week we didn't end up getting any data. We really haven't gotten any data on sub-yearling, so our data is all spring fish at this point in time. The availability of units, however, and the ability to swap screens up here at the project is the issue for the project and why they're asking. And what they've put on the plate then is that they'd like to put it in 3, B, and C, and then have controls in Unit 2, and for 2 weeks go out and gate well dip and see whether there was any noticeable difference. Now, the downside again is that we don't know how many fish they're going to be getting in those at this time of year. And I don't think this precludes necessarily, depending on what the data says, a need next spring to be back there for spring fish looking again at B and then C. But what it does is it, if people are willing, and basically our data from C suggests that with this modified screen in slot C that we're not seeing anything that's increased to scaling. It seems in most of these sampling efforts to have been low or very similar. So, you know, we feel fairly comfortable from a fish standpoint that we're not, based on what we know, by putting them in B, introducing any additional risk. Now, I don't think we're ready to go to A, knowing that A has a lot more flow and with this limited data. However, the ability for the project to have both B and C to switch out these screens should they fail, it's kind of in their economic best interest, if you will. They don't have to take a forced outage, which means that they still get paid for having a unit available. And so that's why they're asking about this. We would go ahead and collect data then for a couple weeks. And we could review that data if we started to see anything that looked like, you know, it was a red flag, you know, like, wait a minute, you know, this is really contrary to what we saw in the spring. Then we can make a decision, you know, to not continue to move forward. I'm suspecting that we would see data similar to what we have here. And in some cases, slot B was the highest. And that's not exactly what, you know, we've been told to anticipate from those on turbine survival program that look at these things all the time. So, you know, if the data stays consistent with what we have, I guess is what we're asking people, you know, are they comfortable that we can move forward at this point in time by putting these modified screen in slot B of 3 for testing, and then if the data stays consistent, go ahead and have that availability for both slots B and C throughout the year.
When do you propose starting the
test? Are there three screens then?
Yes, there are.
There's three. So then that's where they would stay after for next season. They would stay at 2, 3 B and C and 6 C.
Not necessarily. We could put them wherever we needed. You know, B and C is what we're trying to initially test, and then I guess, you know, we talked about moving kind of slow with this so that we didn't have to get into expensive testing, you know, just kind of like, okay, are we seeing anything? And so, you know, so we're pushing ahead a little fast with the B, but because the data at this point, as well as the professional opinion of Martin Amman going out there, you know, they wanted us to move forward and make this inquiry. I asked, can you tell me a little bit about risk, because this is a little faster pace than we were wanting to go. And
we haven't done any testing with the sub-yearlings yet. As you said, the water temperatures are going up, and this is going to be a sub-yearling test. So it could be we'll see some differences.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that in general, when they do, if they're going to do 2 weeks of testing, you know, if we, like, say today said, yeah, go ahead and try with that, I'm not sure if they can do it by next week or if it'd be the following week that they could actually get this implemented, but then you go into 2 consecutive weeks of testing. Then we would have some data, and in general, they've been doing it on Thursdays because that's when they have the most SMP personnel there to help, and then generally, we're getting the spreadsheet probably that Friday and or Monday, that can go out. And, you know, if anything starts popping up, then we can have a discussion, or we can get, you know, take feedback and decide that, no, we're not comfortable, or yes, we are.
The reason I ask,
we wouldn't have to shut down Unit 1.
It's already shut down.
Unit 1 is in the last on at this point in time.
Oh, that's right, because of the fixed blades, right? So
right.
Unit 2 is a priority.
Yeah, I think it's 2, 3, and then you have the ability of 4, 5, or 6.
Okay.
You know, I think that's flexible out in the 15th.
So there'd have to be enough flow for operating 2 and 3.
Right. So that's why he's suggesting going over there, is that it's right. Likely that those will be running, whereas 6, You know, six is scheduled to go out for cavitation repair July 1. And the issue then is that we're not going to need those screens. And I talked to them a little bit about risk, but what they told me is that in the last 4 months they've had five screens go bad during operation and they had the pull. And so they would prefer not to have just one or two buffer, you know, that they'd prefer to have more. So that's it's just kind of one of those things that we're inquiring about. So I don't know. You know, I'm open to hear people's comments and comfort level with moving forward on a path like this, or discomfort, or whatever.
I'm kind of thinking that you're going ahead and do the test, but before getting it in your head that you can just move these anywhere and do whatever you want with them next year, that we look at all the data. We may need to collect some more testing data next spring, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that we're going to... No, I think we definitely want to collect more data next spring, and I'm not quite certain that we're ready to move out of B and C next spring, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's our path, but then I don't know where they'd be for the summer, because if we jump to B and C now, collect data next spring, they may be pushing us for A, you know, look at the timing here. We're waiting to get there. It's all about what people are comfortable with.
How different are the VBSs or the ESBSs?
They have modified
the existing ones.
How different are they? Well, the place that they were different was in the amount of open area in the
perf
plates.
And between what, the BNC of the existing or granite ESBSs?
Oh, there's no difference.
Right.
In existing.
So,
and these now have as much open space, actually a little bit more open space than the existing.
So a little bit more open space.
Production model ESBS plates have 25% open design.
Mm-hmm.
The 70 plates were modified to match the 25% open design.
Right, so they're matching the open design.
So that they have the same amount. When they came on site, they only had 20% open, which was different than the existing ESBSs that had 25%. That's right. Now they've modified those to have the same amount of open. And so I think that's a little bit of where we're going, is that we think we have something that's comparable now because we have the same amount of open space.
Wasn't the bar spacing different, though, on the John Day screens? Wasn't it 1.75 versus maybe an eighth inch on the existing? I'm not sure.
The bars are different because they're the Lamprey-friendly ESBS bar screen. Yes, but now there again, hydraulics has weighed in, Martin, that the velocity is determined by the perf plates and would not be changed.
Well, it isn't changed by the, that's not controlling.
That's right.
Okay.
That's what Martin has weighed in on.
No, that's...
And he's also argued hard that we try, you know, because of that we take a look at these because they are more Lamprey friendly.
Right. Yeah.
So we think, based on expert opinion, professional opinion, as well as physical data then where we made things light, that we now have the perf plates that are identical in terms of open space to what we had existing. And the only difference then is the difference in the bar screen spacing, and that's not influencing velocity through.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, if you look at it from that standpoint of the physical data we have, except that these are from a different place and have had to be modified, we think we have the same thing that we're putting in B slot to what we already have.
And if it works in B slot, then you have no difference in existing screens between A and B and C.
That's right. That's kind of where we're going.
And your data seems to suggest that, but what are the sample sizes of these? I mean, how confident are you in this data as far as, I don't see any confidence problems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this wasn't meant to be a rigorous, you know, remember that for the early, when there was a lot of fish, we decided to only go 10 feet deep in the gate mm-hmm. well so that we could get way too many fish. So, yeah, I think there's...
I'm going to pull out on these checks here.
Well, earlier on, they're getting like about 100 fish per gable slot. Then as progressed, the last samplings, you know, later on, within the month, it was less fish. figured maybe, you know, 30, 40 per total.
Yeah, you know, the fish dropped off really fast this year. There was a lot of fish, and then there was no collection. I mean, we only had, I don't know if John's still on the phone, but we only had about 2 weeks of everyday transport, and then they were...
That is correct.
So this is all gatewell dipping data that
this is gatewell dipping data. So the oversight's being done by Small Monitoring, which is WDFW reps up there.
Project Dual Dipping?
Yes. Yes. And then all the fish examinations being done by SMP. You know, with all that's going on at Lower Granite, we didn't particularly want this to be another place where a lot of fish were getting handled up at the front end. Mm-hmm. At the same time, what we're trying to do is just what we just talked about, and that is put in place something that's the same, essentially, as what we have. And by doing this with the perf plates, and especially with the fact that velocities aren't anticipated to change, it's saving us a fair amount of money in terms of being able to just move these up here and use them. It cost us quite a bit of money just to move them to Lower Granite. So now to be able to put them in place with just some of the project labor and making these modifications helps us, you know, work on other things that we might have had to spend this money on. So.
Okay, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I want to see the 7 year later.
We want to see the data as we get it, and then have the opportunity to weigh in if we see anything unusual.
Yeah. Yes. So the yearly test is going to be important. So try to tell Mike to get as many tests as he can.
So depending on where we're at with the run, would you prefer that? See, I we need to keep it manageable. We were kind of thinking that 100 per slot was reasonable.
Yeah. Be careful with the gable dipping, especially.
I think let's stick with the 150.
Been there, done that, and shut off real fast.
Yeah, we've both done a lot of that. We know that it's not a process. So.
Okay, so shoot.
But at least hear what they're doing. Yeah, we don't want to sacrifice a bunch of fish here. At least they're just comparing it. You know, they're comparing it between the gate wheels. So I don't see why they have to have 100 fish from each gate wheel. I
mean, okay.
30, 35.
Just go with the shallow.
What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's enough.
That sounds good, because then we can go with the 10 foot rather than go on the full depth.
Yeah.
At least
these a few times, and then I'd say you got it. What do you say?
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen so far in C, I would be very surprised if we're going to see a difference, even if we move them into A, to be honest with you, but. We don't have the structures that we're putting in there to the water flow coming in should be identical in the way that they're controlling.
Yeah, the only caution is that we've seen instances where the gate was biased. You know, I mean, something changed. Even at John Day, we saw that. Something happened to it, and we lost the wrong fish in a hurry. So, I touched it.
So, Andy, you want to send us an email when you start?
Okay. Yep.
Hopefully sooner than later before the flow is decent. That's good. Because your crew's only there until Thursday, right? Well, today, so it's
they Thursday. Won't be doing it today. So the screens have to be put in place.
Wednesday next week.
Yeah, hopefully next week and the following week we can collect data. So I think that's what we proposed to do, is to collect data for 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
Did anybody else want to comment? I heard Bill Hevlin, Tom, I don't think I heard you.
I think Bill did it pretty well, I'd be speaking up.
Okay. Dave?
Fine.
Okay. So we can move on then. AWS number one pump test. This is again at Lower Granite.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. Pump number one, they got it running again. What was the problem was a bad solenoid and bad card control was solenoid. I think they burned out, and so they got it going, and now they want to actually test it. Test AWS pump number one. So this would be June 26th from 10 to 11 in the morning. So it wouldn't take more than an hour. And the hour would be to change the bulkheads out. Right now they have two and three running, so they would switch from two to one. So they put the bulkhead on, take the bulkhead off of one to two. That's what takes the 1 hour outage. So timing would be 10 in the morning, so the thought is that there'd be less spring strip passing by at that time. You see there's attached graphs that show the hourly, generally the average hourly counts going by. So generally the, you get there around 10 o'clock and then you go down.
So, any issues? Everybody okay if this goes ahead? Recall that this is the pump that went out pretty unexpectedly after being rebuilt last year, and so without any redundancy, it would be good to have some redundancy again as we're going to be passing a lot of adults the rest of the year.
Sounds okay.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Wills?
Who's the thumbs up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. All right, we haven't been asking BPA. I've been assuming you've been agreeing.
We're okay.
You're speaking up if you're not. Yes. Thank you. Okay. I think we're pretty much done here, aren't we?
All right. So before we go to the fish passage plan change form, we need to go back to the John Day South lamprey trap, because Nathan would like to talk about some temperature protocols.
So I've been working on the trap operation protocol there, and the question that comes up is what maximum temperature can we operate the trap at? There's some guidance from the adult fish facility and what's gone there here at Vaughn. Aaron Jackson has also said that he recalls getting blessing through FPOM to trap up to 74 degrees. And currently there's special guidance for trapping at 72 here at the AFS. We have potentially two different numbers. I've tried to do some literature searching this week, and not surprisingly, I'm not finding upper thermal limits for adult lamprey, for just to give us some kind of guidepost anyway.
That's really limits based on salmon, so
right.
Yeah, it's not applicable.
Aaron said he's transported them at 74, I've been up to 76, and hasn't noticed increased mortality. So he's the guy that's worked with them the most. He's a hematilla lamprey biologist, has a lot of experience. His practical experience as a guide suggests that it's greater than salmon would be. And that's not shocking, I don't think. But at the same time, I'm having trouble finding some science to kind of...
good to have science.
Right. Science is nice.
It is.
So I guess I kind of wanted to broach that here. If anyone had any strong feelings about it or actual information about it, that would be helpful.
Right, Tammy, you can wrap it up.
After collecting they put them on ice.
They begin to, because typically where they're going to hold the fish is cooler than the fish weighs themselves. So as they transport back to the holding location, they're tempering the water during the
trip.
Huge boats are full of ice. I don't know.
Salt, pepper,
yeah, that's a consideration for sure. So I don't know if there's any concern as far as salmonids go. It sounds like Miro's talking about operating that trap.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot less impactful.
Yeah, it sounds like it's pretty good. So that's really lamprey-based criteria.
I wouldn't want to argue with Aaron right now. I
can see if I asked him to try to find in the minutes where he kind of had this previous discussion about it, and I don't know if he's had time to do it. You know, they're in the middle of their season two.
He's busy, but everybody's busy. Can he write up a memo just with his experiences that can come to the committee as a recommendation from,
sure.
from the...
I think he'd be glad to hear that. Yeah. And I think I'll continue to hunt around, but...
Yeah. Or something through pretty big, I don't know.
What's he asking for? What temperature?
I think 74, which is what he's recalling. He's had that blessing before to drop a 74.
Not at the AFF, but you have a lot more salmon interaction there since you're right in the fishway. But it may have
I think it was for pulling
for
his
traps.
CDC traps.
The Dallas and John Day. It would have been close to negotiating.
Yeah, but I just mean it was never here.
No,
right, no,
no,
no, I don't think it was at the AFF.
Have you talked to Mary Mosher?
No,
I haven't talked to Mary.
There was a funding issue, and Mary's not talking to us.
Should we talk to her?
Yeah, can you talk to her? Exactly. I think she might have a little better luck.
Okay. Well, I mean, the literature should. I mean, there should be something in the literature.
Well, you know, and I was trying to find Beamish's paper, but I got paid $25 to access it for the Canadian.
Maybe we should
have some.
Yeah,
some
we lost the electronic journals, didn't we, with the sequestration?
Did we lose all of it?
Well, I haven't been able to get on anything.
Even our own.
We might be
able to. And I don't know if it's there.
I might even have it in the office, but I'll check.
Yeah.
I do have some information on, you know, they did some tests, Clemens did, of summer temperatures and how that affects springtime maturation. He took them up to 22C or something, though, so it wasn't.
Yeah, I was looking for something where people handled them and said, okay, this is, you know, this is bad.
Yeah, need an LD50.
Maybe we could all kind of chip in and look a little bit and data our resources in the meantime and get something from Aaron that documents his feelings on
this. He's experienced. I mean, he has actual experience doing it.
And he could have a recommendation. I mean, they are the, you know, the main, it's their interest. It's the stakeholders.
Okay.
And then that would be something that actually.
Yeah, we had more to present, but there's really just...
Just work from that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, if you need something really quick, maybe you could do Chris Perry.
It doesn't have to be quick, because it sounds like the Umatillas won't be ready to start operating that trap until the end of the month, so there's still a bit of time.
What was the paper you were looking for?
It's Beamish, I think it's 1982, and it's... biology of Pacific lamprey and maybe another species, and I could send you the citation. Canadian Journal of Fishery and Aquatic Science, and it's like
we have access to a lot of journals.
Yeah, we need to. So I don't think that'd be a problem.
It's great.
Yeah, but then I could just send it to you.
That'd be great.
Yeah, you should send them the site because I think we're locked out.
Kind of locked out.
Yeah.
Can you send me the citation too, Nathan?
Sure.
Then what, you guys using science?
Well, they probably still have access to the engineering journal.
Right. If you wanted to engineer a lamprey, we could do that.
Engineers, after all.
We'll see.
All right, so back to the Fish Passage Plan. This is Change Form 14 Bond 001. I just need the documentation in the FPOM notes where everybody stands on this change form, which I pretty much know, but we'll get it recorded.
So tell subject, bond 001 FY14 is?
It's the bond ops, change the bond ops going to BOP and Holden Powerhouse 2 at the midpoint and everything related to that. So BPA.
What's the course?
I don't think you guys have ever followed us before. Usually aren't you yanking us around as to which decision we'll make? From the policy standpoint, I don't know that the Corps has come up with a recommendation yet. And since I am very technical, I will defer to my policy elders. So BPA.
We're going to follow your lead.
Oh, great. Well, in that case, I support this.
This is going to be unanimous then.
Your policy lead.
Oh, well.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And then the rest of you all support it, I assume? Noah.
Yes, for Noah.
Griffith.
It's a fisheries technical recommendation that we support.
Yeah.
discussion?
Yes. Which?
The call will support the official technician report.
Well, you know, Sherry, we've been forgetting to get you on some of the other things, so when we leave this topic, why don't I quiz you?
Okay.
We heard a couple beeps, and I wasn't sure you were still there.
I'm here.
Good. Stay on a couple minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
You got what you need?
I'm pretty sure that's just what I needed, yeah.
So, hey,
you don't need me to say that I support the document I shared with you.
Yeah, you gotta say it.
No, you,
say
I
it.
Had it.
No, this is my name, but I'm a task group leader. I'm surprising I support the document you came up with.
That and the SOR that you guys all sent. I got it.
Anything else
you
want?
Yeah, I didn't do anything on the SORs. No, I just wanted to let Sherry on the three lower granite coordination forms that we went through and quizzed everybody. I didn't know if you had anything counter on that. That was the fish pump, auxiliary water supply pump that we wanted to do a one-hour test, and then the John Day screens that we're switching out, as well as the bushing replacement in late summer. And kind of went around and fixed Fish and Wildlife Service and NIMS, and didn't give the Colville, since we're on the phone, a chance to weigh in.
The Colville supported it. We have no problem with that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that brings us to task group updates and...
You got one other fish passage plan thing, just for you guys to think about. I was talking to one of the operators out here at Bonneville last week, and he was somewhat frustrated trying to find something in the plan, and I have to agree that at times it's very difficult to find specific actions that are supposed to happen based on the dates. And I know that there's a action-specific schedule in there, but there's not a date-specific schedule, like a calendar with items that should happen as you come to those days. And I start thinking that might be a good idea at the front of each of the sections to have a calendar that lists actions that are supposed to happen. This is in reference to going to the point flows and looking at the entrances. But you know, there's a lot of things in there that are that way that are date-specific. It okay. might help the operators quickly key in on, you know, today is this date, what's supposed to happen.
So the Dan
Hart isn't... Yeah, he was, you know, and I saw that afterwards, but maybe he missed it. But, you know, that's a little different because it's based on actions and not the dates. And the dates are laid out this way, the actions are this way. I'm thinking of actually a calendar, you know, that's, you can just lay it out for fish passage season. Day by day by day, that's what happens. And they could just check it. Say, so, today I'm supposed to be doing this.
No, that was.
Wow.
Some things are easy to put in, some things are hard because they aren't specific days.
Yeah, 1% you don't put everything in, but at least some of the things, that's a specific date, that's June 1. You know, there's June 1 things, there's, you know, there's April 10 things, there's...
Right, there's some that fit really well in the calendar and some that don't.
Yeah, September 1, you do this. Yeah, there's
okay.
There's a few items that you just start populating it with, and maybe we'll get one.
Yeah, I usually do it for every kind of one of the eight tabs.
Yep. That's just a thought. Nothing that I would use it too.
Yeah. We can certainly look at that, Lisa, and try and find an easy way of just getting that in there.
Stick in our Outlook calendar.
Yeah, that may be the easiest way.
Every year, every operator, every place.
That's right. Alrighty, and so then, we have, before we get to task groups, we'll get to the McNary sampling with no transport.
Yeah, thanks. I wanted, so with this year, everyone coming to agreement that we weren't going to transport a McNary. Either barge or truck. As we started talking with Carl and folks at the project and asking, okay, you know, how do we start looking at, you know, the future and finding cost savings, one of the things that came up was, well, a lot of our outlays on 24-hour coverage of the separator to allow for this every other day sampling. And so because the sampling is largely for fish condition to troubleshoot how the facility is operating, I guess in my mind, I wasn't sure that 24 hours a day was really critical. And, you know, know, it's already every other day. And so I guess I wanted to kind of bring out for people to consider and chew around whether or not something more like an 8-hour sample period every couple of days would be sufficient. And then we can talk about the appropriate time of day. You know, I haven't really delved into that, and I would anticipate whoever SMP in Washington, Charlie, folks like that might want to weigh in. But, you know, that's just a place that we think is logical to go, and just kind of want to start talking about it a little.
I think it's there. You can pick the hours. I mean, that would be the thing to do, is to pick which hours. You certainly want hours when fish are passing. So,
right.
Evening hours, morning hours are typically the best for that. But there's standards that would help avoid holding fish for those extra 16 hours, which would be great as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so maybe we'll do some coordination with the project, both our staff as well as the WDFW or the PSMFC that are doing the oversight, and try to kind of put together a little bit of a recommendation. I guess, you know, we have to kind of wait until we're just starting preliminary discussions based on what we might anticipate to see when, like, the 2014, you know, buyout might come out, you know, with stronger language.
But you don't get a good index. I mean, that's the problem, is expansion of data. It becomes an issue with subsampling, the subsampling. So, you know, how important is the index?
So we may get some feedback, I would question, you know, possibly from FPC. I don't think Dave Benner is here today. I haven't seen him. Oh,
no,
but
that would be the issue, is how do you expand that to get an index? I mean, you could, it's possible, because the diels don't usually shift that much. So you could come up with an expansion. It's just that the index now becomes a new index from this point forward. You know, so.
Yeah, and you could use your historical data as well in terms of how you extrapolate.
Yeah,
so
you
they.
You just have to go back and adjust it. So you're looking at similar. Either way, there's got to be some.
So say we pick X amount of hours, and we have historical data, but see, they don't have historical data.
By the hour.
That's right, they only have the 24-hour time frames.
No, you have to just make an adjustment based on whatever dial you know about, and assume that your new index is somewhat similar to the old index, because your expansion was logical.
Right.
It would take
so,
a little bit of thought process. And, you know, in the meantime, the other thing the FPAC could do is just ask the question whether or not the indexes are that important.
Okay, so I don't. Dave, are you on the phone still? Okay, anyway, you know, we'll get it in the notes, maybe that we want to look at that as a path forward, and that we would like to get some input, and we will look into some of the data as well to come back and start some discussions about just an 8-hour sample period every other day.
Very important. I'll take this back to you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, from our standpoint, you know, the less we have to spend on staff, hopefully the more we can start doing some of this maintenance, like we're saying that we have a need in our rental ladders and a lot of other places.
With the transporting area, one of the big thoughts was we could save some money and use that money elsewhere. So.
Exactly. And then as we started talking, though, we started realizing we have some constraints here. So,
Good.
Thank you, Tammy.
So, where are we
at? We're at task group updates.
And we have a new task group for the sea lions, and I don't have team members for that.
This is Tom Orr. I'm going to get to the meeting, so you guys can have fun sharing that with someone else.
So, we can put you on that task group meeting?
So, we're going to put Tom on all that.
Chairperson.
You know, he did such a good job on the other one that I think.
The bomb.
It gives me an opening, too. I think I have something else to do, too.
Okay, Bill, you'll be the other chair.
Yeah, you know, Tom and I will be on that. You're running that task.
Whoever's not around, well, it's not just one. I think it's going to be all of them.
Yeah, can we have the next meeting in Portland, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Our participant has left the conference.
Okay, I don't know if John's there for the T-line attachment, but I don't know if he's going to be there for not that one or not.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Then I'm covered. All right. Good. Turn on that switch button.
See you, John.
Thanks.
Oh, which John are you referring to, John?
That's just Tom that I was talking to.
Okay, so let's see, Sea Lion Task Group, you're still looking for the other members, aren't you?
I actually need a chair that will...
Oh, you need a chair?
I got myself a good chair.
Well, Robert's here.
Tell Trevor what
I okay.
It's a manufacturing chair. He's the expert.
Members include, so team members will be Fredericks and Conter.
He's getting off the BP here. There's always somebody that isn't here.
How is that?
John likes the Sandberg.
Yeah, John's the
best. What actually ever happened with their predation meeting, you know, that they were going to set up with USGS? Did they ever exist?
They didn't reschedule the other.
Did you give me?
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Put Vanderborg.
Is that the left the conference?
John's working on it.
Oh, is he still installed?
Vanderloo? Totally through. All right. Anyone else?
That bank did get established since the 24th. Didn't
know that. For the predation, for Mason's predation.
Bob, you want to be on this since you've got to deal with them too?
Sure.
Corey. All right. So we'll be meeting over what?
Could you go over that again now? Who's who?
Chaired by Robert, team members include Fredericks, Condor, Skidmore, Hausman, Mackey, Whitaker, Vanderloo, and Cordy. Anyone else? Dave?
You got a recruiter.
Good, won't do me much good.
How much longer is he around?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone already.
History.
Our
Alright. So then Avian Task Group, that you guys will hold a meeting in the coming months because we've gone through the development of that, right? Those
yeah,
team members
kind of assigned people and then yeah, we're gonna have to set up a meeting.
Yeah, we're gonna set up a meeting over here.
Okay.
So
members.
Put me in there, yeah. My member.
Oh, you're.
Was
you're
I volunteered?
Yeah, you were volunteered.
And so, one question I had is how is this different than the Inland Avian Worker?
Okay, I talked about that earlier. What we did in Inland Avian, it was all combined. We decided to decouple the project level
right.
avian issues from the inland
habitat
side mm-hmm. that. So. Now, they're really dealing with that, the issues of the islands and things like that, and then O&M will deal with the actual project level.
Okay.
Wires and hazing and things like that. And David Trachtenberg is going to be on the move too.
So he'll be on both, he'll be our kind of conduit.
Yeah.
Do you want me to?
I haven't quite figured out what Gary is expecting him to bring in that's an attack on our O&M, but. I know there's something subterranean coming through here.
Yeah, the O&M side and the research side of all laws.
Matson's on it too.
We need to have more pancakes.
Okay. All right, so moving on.
Anything else left?
We have the Bond BBS task group. Are we finished with that now that the change form has been approved as of last month? Yes or no?
I think we're kind of done with that.
Are we?
Yeah.
I'm happy to.
Yeah, we've worked through the reinstallation issue and all that. It's mainly the degree part of it. It really wasn't the gate oil issue. It's still, that's been a fair week discussion.
All right.
And another part of changing the notes is we're not going to leave the screens in year round. We're just trying to leave them in through the spring.
It's just a few out of the year, but I want to make sure it wasn't including in there.
Sure. Okay. I'll just delete that from these notes anyway. All right, AFS mods, now that the modifications are nearly complete, this group won't disband, though, until after the modifications, I think, this winter, right? We'll hang on to it until then. Yes?
Yeah,
no?
Yeah, AFS, kind of a little bit of a mess, in my mind.
It's not written as hard as it's supposed to be.
So that's, that group needs to still be in existence, I think.
Okay.
Participants have left the conference.
Okay. And then Sturgeon Task Group. I am getting confirmation of that. I know we had the change form, but nobody said we are now disbanded. To disband, you have people knowing that they're disbanded. The fish counting task group.
We talked about, you know, keeping sturgeon out of tournaments, things like that. Is that something that people still want to work on? Or?
We're going to be hard time funding for it.
That's true. That's true.
That was the reason they were disbanding, is that I think he was getting increased interest elsewhere and lots of proposals for things that there was no way to put any path forward on. But
I'd like to pursue that for sure. But yeah, I think
we can
do
that.
Fish count, we're going to be getting ready to have another meeting. I actually pulled together existing data and gave that to Byrne here before the meeting. I had gotten some information from Gary back about 2 or 3 months ago on the harvest biop, and since then I've looked at the TAC that references the harvest biop. I made a call to Brian Burke of your group to see what he was using for his run estimations, etc. And then I've taken what's in the biop, and I've just kind of put that into like a page and a half right now. He didn't have a chance to look at it, but that's kind of where we're at. Is I've tried to assemble what I know for existing, and I think what we're going to do is then come out to folks and let you, you know, put in other needs, other things that you're aware of, and then we'll probably be ready for a discussion.
Good. Yeah.
So it hasn't died. It's just taking a little time to get there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So when do you think you want to meet?
Well, I'm not going to be here for the July meeting is the problem. So, I mean, I'm okay maybe in August or something like that if we can get this out. I think I'll bug Byrne to take a look. And then what I have is a draft. And then Greg Moody has some information historically on what's been done way back to like the 50s and things like that. So we're thinking I might try to append that as well. So I may wait till I get that before I just send it out to the group.
Okay.
And then, you know, hopefully give you guys some time just to kind of round up thoughts as well as other opinions, et cetera, that'll be out there. Because I think my long-term hope is that I'm really seeing that the biop steers a lot of things. There's going to be a lot of things that are negotiated based on the 2018 biop. And so if we can start formulating an interim to see if there's any places where there's wiggle room, that is something that maybe we can start to get people in the region wrapped better around than some immediate change.
Okay.
So let's shoot for maybe August, either after FBOM or sometime, although that gets to be a busy month, so August, September, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be
it. August might be a little too busy, because you guys have a lot of SRWG stuff in August too, don't you? And then historically, they had a week of first
year.
The
first 2 days is that's going to be there. First and second. And then there's nothing else.
Yeah, well, and this is something, you know, there's really no rush, per se.
No, there is.
We found out when we tried to ask for a quick resolution that there was going to be no quick resolution. So, well, one of the things that there's technology out there that it's been very convenient, you know, to just do what we've been doing. But video counting may be a place where portions of that may fit in well. You know, and we'll have some time maybe at some other projects to look at whether there's any economic efficiencies there, because I've heard both sides. Some people say it might be in other purple, oh, not at this place, it's worse, you know, kind of stuff. And so, you know, there's some of these things will all be things that we can filter into just whatever recommendations, you know, that we want to work towards.
Yeah, it's going to be a long-term project.
All right, and then with the submission of the change form, the bond unit operating range task group can now disband as well. And I think that concludes everything. Unless anyone has
anything. Everything?
Concludes everything for FCOM on the agenda at this time.
Right.
Now over to Robin's Island, yes.
Barbecue!
Did Vern do the start the...
He did, yes.
Nice.
Vern, I see you well.
I didn't get a hold of them.
See, I expect it's just a shelter and no restrooms out there.
There are restrooms.
Oh, is there?
Yes, it's actually a very nice facility.
The Sequester didn't shut them down yet.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we got to hold them back. We're just good.
So, are we like a caravan over there? Should we all go through the gate or how does it work?
There's no gate.
Just turn left.
You get through the security guard and you can't miss it. It's just on the other side of the road.
So, as soon as you go through the gate, you make a left?
No, it's a little further down. It's
an out there. After you get across the map,
we're going to Bradford, yeah?
And
that's where we're heading, so just ask. Well, I can see the city.
Marcy's going to be mine.
Really?
Is that right?
So we're just going to have a task group meeting at the...
Yes.
That'll be interesting.
Y'all have to sit and meet together.
Can't socialize at all, so it's going to be good.
Cool. Okay. Need help breaking down here, Tammy, or are you good?
I'm good. I'll make my way over there shortly.
Good.
Somebody wants to hang up the phone.